Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I have a message this morning that, man, I've been trying not to preach negative this winter. I'm really striving to be even preach negative positively. I'm going to try to do a little bit of that this morning, but I trust that it'll lift you up and lift your hearts towards God. It says in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. It used to be, and there was a time when the word of God was not complete. God spoke through the prophets and dreams and visions, but that's not the day today, the last days, these last times that we live in. God speaks through his word. The living word is Jesus Christ. He is God's word in the flesh. We have the completed canon, the completed Bible, just like we talked about upstairs this morning in Sunday school. And we look to God's word for answers. Let's pray. God, we ask your blessing upon the book this morning. As we look at Revelation in chapter 3, I pray you'd make it live. You'd make it like it is, alive. That God's word would speak to all of our hearts and meet us right where we live and lift us into the heavenly. Show us where we may be guilty of sin. And God, please just arrest our attention and make us what we ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I had a nightmare this last week. The reason I read this, I had a nightmare this last week. And everybody, how many here has raised a puppy or two in their lifetime? And you know, they don't come housebroken. That's the way they ought to come if it was a perfect world, but they don't come housebroken. And I'm not Ebenezer Scrooge. I mean, I like little puppies, but I don't want a puppy at my house. And we've been through that a couple of times. Well, I had a nightmare this last week. This is the honest truth. I believe that Debbie had a pet cow. And it was not housebroken. You can imagine, I woke up mad. I mean, I woke up about 6 o'clock and I was just fuming because of what happened in the kitchen. Man, I was just mad. And it was a Holstein, so it was a biggie, you know, And I am so glad. The only thing that I could get from that is I am so glad that God doesn't speak through dreams and visions today. I'd be a little concerned about the future if that's what it was. God's word is settled. We know that. Psalm 119, it's settled in heaven. It's settled. It's standing. It is not going to change, not one jot or one tittle. And this morning, what I'd like to do is I want to share a little bit of one thing that I shared, one of these points, maybe the last point, maybe a little bit of the introduction of what I shared with some of the young people in chapel at Maplewood a couple weeks ago. Just a little bit, because I believe God would have us to go there, but it's just a reminder. This message is a reminder. But let me read Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And you're not unfamiliar with this, I know. I've got three points that I want to preach. First of all, I want to share the passage so you have understanding of it and really what's going on. There were seven literal churches in that first century. They're listed here in Revelation in chapters 1 through 3. And the seventh church, each of these churches were literal churches, and they also symbolize a different time period during the church age. And we can see that. We maybe wouldn't have known that ahead of time, but we can see that in hindsight. And also, there are literal churches that are in operation today. This last church is not the church that we want to identify with. You've heard preachers preach, and you've heard me preach about the Laodicean church, the church just before Jesus comes. Oh, let me back up just one quick moment and say this. The Philadelphia church is God's church. The Philadelphia church is red hot and zealous. They were regular blue-collared people, and they were doing the work of Christ and advancing the cause of Christ. The Philadelphia church, he says this, you're a church that I trust you. You're a church of the open door, blue-collar church, doctrinally pure, separated And by the way, verse 11, you're the church that's going to be raptured. Verse 11, he says, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Philadelphia church is what we want to be. We want to be part of that church as an individual. We want to be part of that church as a church group, a church corporate, New Testament church, local church, Fundamental Baptist church. We want to be that church that's doing our best to evangelize the world, and we are doctrinally pure, and we are not compromising. We're not taking on false doctrine. We're just simply standing for the truth. And because of it, God's opened a door. Then there's the Laodicean church. This is a church that is rich in a lot of ways, and in their own eyes, they have not identified their failure, and they're failing God. And they're operating as a church without Christ. I got to fly. There's a lot I want to say. Verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, faithful, final word of the sovereign creator. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou wert cold or hot. They had a take it or leave it kind of Christianity. They're the kind of Christians that could put it on Sunday and take it off on Monday. Put it on when it's convenient and leave Christ out of their lives when it's not convenient. They're lukewarm. They're not cold. They're not hot. By the way, I'm not a doctor, and I haven't studied that, but I do know that lukewarm condition is when bacteria takes over. That's when germs grow. That's when destruction is done. He said, because verse 15, I know your works, and I would that thou wert neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit, literally vomit thee out of my mouth. That's what Christ thinks of the Laodicean church. You say, oh, Pastor, that's kind of harsh. It would be better that some churches nailed their doors shut because they're doing damage. People are going to sleep while someone's in the pulpit fiddling. This is the church. This is like the fable, the emperor has no clothes. They don't recognize. It's happened so gradual and so incremental. They do not understand. I keep going back to what you shared with me, Jim, about your father-in-law getting on fire for God, going to a good church now. You know what I mean? Saying across the table with his big fat fingers, and he has fat fingers, doesn't he? All right? Yes, he does. This is the guy who used to play games with God, and now he's telling his son-in-law, not Jim, but the other son-in-law who's in a lukewarm church, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. And his daughter says, you sound just like a Baptist preacher. You know, and the truth is, if we would become zealous, we would all be that way. But too many, it's a comfortable Christianity. I'll read on. I'll come back to that. Verse 17, because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods and getting more and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They don't even recognize. There's a man in the church right now. He's here this morning. There's a man that said to me this week, I was just sitting in my living room with my wife and looking up at our real night. We have a very nice home, and it is. I've been there, and I'm in a very nice home and looking around saying, what's this for? What's this all about? See, what he's saying is none of this really matters. It really doesn't. And when the church understands that, he used this word, my retirement, what's that for? You know, chances are, 50-50 chance, we won't get any of it, right? I mean, you could die or whatever. I mean, what's it for? How about investing in some eternal things? Well, let's go back. But the Laodicean church, they're comfortable. The emperor has no clothes. They don't know they're naked. They don't understand. They don't have the power of God. Verse 18. I'll read verse 17. Because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, and blind, and naked. 2 Timothy 3:5, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You say, now, what's the power? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You know what? A church that does not advance the gospel with zeal has been gutted of the truth. It's become a country club. Laodicean church. All kinds of money. All kinds of money. Man, we do need some pews. I understand that. But I priced it one time. You know what pews cost? If we were to buy pews for this size auditorium, we are talking $160,000. Cheap ones. Why would we spend money on that? Well, these will finally get wore out. Maybe I'll have you bring your lawn chairs or something. I don't know. We'll work it out. We got to, or maybe somebody, some church will give us pews. That's what's going to happen because they're getting bigger. Maybe they are getting bigger. That'd be wonderful. Let's go on. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried with fire that thou mayest be rich. Again, this is a church that is naked. I told somebody, and I actually wrote it down, and it's going to be out a little bit in print here in the future. We're an old-fashioned church. Not old-fashioned like 50 years ago. Old-fashioned like 2,000 years ago. We want to stand with the book. You know, somebody really should have said amen right there. You know that, don't you? All right. Old-fashioned like 2,000 years ago. Right, a little bit better. That's kind of weak. Get with it, all right? The church is not supposed to be trendy like a shopping mall or a nightclub. Man, we're to hold to the truth. We're to hold forth a light. That's the Philadelphia church, the Laodicean church. They're increasing in goods. That's what it says in verse 17. He says, I counsel you, and God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is a great counselor. Buy of me gold tried with fire, and they could afford it. In other words, live fire, gold tried in fire. Live some life for the glory of God. Great riches in heaven with that. Righteousness ought to prevail, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I quote this verse all the time when I'm trying to lead somebody to Christ. Not every time, but a lot. The truth is, in the context, he's not describing an individual here whose door of their heart needs to be open. Sadly, he's describing a church that is without Christ. I don't mean pictures. I don't mean singing some words where Christ's name is named. I'm talking about the power of God. Behold, I stand at the door. He's talking to churches. I stand at the door and knock. Can you imagine a church and Christ is not there? Say, does that happen? Yes, it does. All over. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's revival. I want to preach this morning, that was my introduction, on the devil's big lie. Let me pray one more time. God, we pray your blessing on the book. Help me to make this short and concise. Get right to it. Please take over in the service. I don't feel like I've got to preach my outline. I pray, God, that you just take over. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 8, verse 44, we read that the devil is the father of all lies. He is a liar, and he's been a liar from the beginning. He's the deceiver. He's the one that casts doubt upon the word of God. The devil is a liar. You can't trust him. And point number one, this is introduction, real simple. The devil is not your friend. The Laodicean church, they fall prey to that message, however it is clothed. That might have been clothed in religious garbs. You need to understand this. The devil is not your friend. And anybody who is God's enemy is not your friend. Please understand this. He doesn't have red skin and a pointed tail and walk around with a pitchfork. That is not Lucifer. That is not Beelzebub. That is not the prince of darkness who is transformed into an angel of light according to the word of God. He's a deceiver. He is not your friend. He is not about helping you. The devil is an enemy of the church. And you party with the devil and you will pay and the price will be souls. You might be born again, But those you party with will never get saved. Because you've pointed them away from Christ. That what a blood on our hands. Please know this. The world is not our friend. The Bible tells us in 1 John that we are not to be a friend of the world. The devil is not our friend. He'll come in religious clothing. You've got to understand that. So many get deceived by that. Please understand that. He's going to come and his chief business is religion. Destroying good churches. Hindering and destroying and sifting like Peter. The devil wanted to sift Peter. Christians so that they're no longer of any use to God. Anything he can do to put out the light of the gospel, he's all about that. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't know what's going on in your family. I don't know what's going on in your extended family. I don't know what's going on at your workplace. The devil is not your friend. There's no such thing as just a little white sin. Please understand that. Get closer to God. That's for all of us here. That's for the most mature saint here this morning and the littlest babe in Christ. Become more like Jesus. You show me somebody that is close to God, and I'll show you someone who weeps over personal sin. Personal sin. It grieves you when you sin because you know you've hurt God and the cause of Christ. If you can laugh about that or chuckle about that, you are a long ways away from being Christ-like. You are full of yourself. You're self-absorbed, Laodicean church. Real simple point without going to all. I was going to preach Hebrews chapter 6 this morning. I might preach that next Sunday morning on eternal life. And a lot of people use that to say, there's no such thing as eternal security. Next Sunday morning, expositional message on Hebrews in chapter 6. Mark that down because I don't have time to look at it this morning. The devil is not your friend. Don't buddy up with Beelzebub. Number two. Things will never bring permanent joy. Look at verses 17 and 18. These people are increased, the Laodicean church increased with goods. It isn't over yet. There's still more coming. Man, it's happening all the time. It's coming from all directions, and none of it is going to be permanent. None of it is going to bring permanent joy. Please. Don't be that guy that sits in the background and counts his money. Don't do that. You can't serve both God and mammon. Mammon is a love for money, not just silver and gold, wealth, accumulations, whatever it is you're hoarding. You're mistaken. You're not being Christ-like. Instead, it's to be used for the cause of Christ. That's what the Philadelphia church did. The Laodicean church, verse 17, got to read it again. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased, getting more, with goods. And I don't have need of anything. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor. Man, spiritual paupers and spiritually blind. And when it comes to righteousness, naked before the eyes of God. Has no understanding, no discernment. Things don't make sense in their life anymore. Lose a little bit of money and get all upset. Where their treasure is, that's where your heart is. That's what Jesus taught, Matthew chapter 6. We're so sadly mistaken sometimes. Please understand, things, wealth, will never bring permanent joy. I counted dollars while God counted crosses. I counted gains while he counted losses. I counted my worth by the things gained in store, but he sized me up by the scars that I bore. I coveted honors and sought for degrees. He wept as he counted the hours on my knees. I never knew till one day at a grave how vain are these things that we spend life to save. Laodicean church, that's the rich church, or wanting to be rich church. By the way, if you desire a fancy church, I don't think, let me say it this way, it ain't never going to happen here. It just, someday we'll have to replace the carpet. The Lord tarries long enough. Boy, this carpet has been a miracle. It has lasted a long, long time. High quality carpet, $26.95 a yard. We got it for $10.50. I remember all those details because it was a blessing of God. I couldn't believe it. You know, so, and boy, am I thankful because we, We'd have gone through a carpet a couple of times that had been the other carpet we used to get all the time. We're never going to be fancy. We'll strive to be better, more on fire for God. Zealous. I'm going to close the message with that. And according to the clock on the wall, I should be closing in about 4 or 5 minutes. But I'll come to zealous here in just a moment. The devil's not your friend. Things will never bring you permanent joy. Oh, look at verse 19. Let's get it, all right? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Zealous. The word literally means boil over. Hot. God wants us red hot for the cause of Christ. Not lukewarm. Here's the deal. God is not hanging up any sign anywhere in any church advertising for part-time help. That brings me to my third point. There is no difference in New Testament Christianity. You might have some dead old, dead mainline orthodoxy of some kind, but in New Testament Christianity, there is no difference between the sacred and the secular. We're to be full-time children of God. It isn't I dress one way and look one way and talk one way in church and I dress one way and look one way and talk one way and a different way over here in the world. Man, that's not it. That is called hypocrisy. That is a life, that is a tool that's dirty and God can't use. You wonder why you haven't led anybody to Christ. We're to be full-time children of God, red hot and zealous for the glory of God. This is one of the things I shared with the young people. Romans 14, can't turn there. 1 Corinthians, don't have time to turn there. The illustration Paul used was the meat that was being, city of Corinth, and there was meat sold in the shambles or in the marketplace that was leftover meat from some of the idol worship that was going on in the city of Corinth. It was good meat. There was nothing wrong with it. And somehow would gather that meat and they'd bring it to the marketplace and they were making a living off it and they were selling that meat, perfectly good meat. Some of the people in the city of Corinth and the church of Corinth, they got born again and they were saved out of that idol worship. And they found out that some of their brethren, maybe more mature than they even, were buying meat in the marketplace. Meat that had been offered unto idols, leftovers, offered unto idols, and it highly offended them as babes in Christ. And Paul wrote a scathing letter to the church of Corinth, told them they had needed to grow up, climb down from their high chairs, and start living for God. And no, it wasn't just to the babes in Christ. It was to the quote-unquote mature saints. And Paul said this, souls are important. That's my paraphrase. In fact, souls and others, most important thing in my life here on this earth. They are more important than meat. And he writes the church of Corinth and says, I agree with you. Nothing wrong with that meat. No doubt he'd partaken of some of that meat. Nothing wrong with that meat. You could eat that meat, you're not committing sin. But, now here's a man that's probably more like Jesus than anybody that's ever walked this earth. He said, if meat will cause my brother to stumble, I'm done eating meat. Now he wasn't talking about vegetarian. He was talking about the meat sold there on the in the marketplace. That is mature Christianity. Not self-absorbed. I don't care what you think. That's not Christ-like. Because Christ does care what others think. He does care about their souls. That is important to God. The devil's big lie is that there's a difference between sacred and secular. Too many want God only at their own command. It's like they have him at the end of a chain or in a little box. And when they want God, they open it up and they bring God out. That's not New Testament Christianity. Bible Christianity, New Testament Christianity, impacts all of my life. 7 days a week. Everything I have everything I do, it's all about Jesus. New Testament Christianity. Church at Laodicea, a Christless church. They think they're wearing robes of righteousness and they're wearing rags of sin. I've been in those some of those churches. There's a lot of good churches. That's why I don't want to color everything with a broad brush. But I've been in a lot of our sister churches that they are as dead as last year's Christmas tree. No one, churches of hundreds of people, and people don't walk the aisle to get saved. People don't walk the aisle to get right. They're a shell of what they're supposed to be. And now let's bring it down to where we are. We're not like we're supposed to be. We're not as much like Christ as we need to be. We don't weep over sin like we ought to weep over sin. For too many, it's a game. I want to say this. I'm done. We're going to have an altar call here in a moment. This for anybody that might be out there that think you can outsmart God. And you're born again. And you're playing in the world. How can I say this without sounding too harsh? God is going to thump you on the head. You think God is playing? You think souls aren't important? You don't understand the holy God that we worship. And we don't claim to be, I don't claim to be holy. But Christ is everything. Now here's what's got to happen. It's time, verse 22, he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It's time that Fundamental Baptist Church gets red hot zealous for the cause of Christ. Churches cycle. We have times of harvest, times of planting, times of cultivating. I understand that. I've been here long enough. I know that. I've been here 35 years. I could probably name to you 60 different cycles that we've gone through. A couple a year. You know, we're just kind of, you know, oh, a lot of people getting saved, a lot of people getting saved. Well, not as many people getting saved, but there's growth going on under the covers, you know, underneath that I don't always see. And God is building people. And revival hits and boom, God's people. And there's a harvest again. That's the way it's supposed to be. And I understand that. And I understand it's wintertime. And I understand it's 2017. It's March. A lot of people fly the coop in March. And I understand that. Oh, I got to have sunshine. Don't be a sun worshiper. Don't do that, all right? Bloom where God is. Now, if you've got a vacation plan and you're going, don't feel guilty about it. Unless the Holy Spirit is telling you to feel guilty about it. Don't you do that. But the truth is, man, we got to get red hot again. When's the last time you won a soul to Christ? When's the last time you spoke to somebody about Jesus? When's the last time you thought about speaking to somebody about Jesus? Oh, I'm busy, busy, busy. You're too busy. Maybe you're working with the wrong motives. Maybe things are out of priority. I'm done. You know what we got to do? Fall in love with Christ. That's it.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.